On today's edition of the Wrestling Takeover podcast, WrestleMania 40 is coming up, man. I am excited, but I'm not going to lie to you guys. I feel WrestleMania 40 has been underwhelming. I will give you guys my reasons as to why I feel that way coming up next. I'm also going to be talking about in the second half of the podcast, Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is throwing everybody under the bus. I got the documents with the article that I have for you guys. I will be reading those documents one by one. So after that, I will be giving you guys my opinions, just honest truth opinions on everything regarding that situation. Vince McMahon is, if he's going out, he's going to go down in a blaze of glory. And we can see more people eventually being fired from WWE. And no, Triple H is not on the list.
Welcome to...
You're listening to The Wrestling Takeover.
What is your name?
With your host, Jordan Turner, who's always going to keep it real.
Come on, King.
Inside and outside the ring.
Let me make myself clear.
He's got the fans behind him, King.
It's time to take over, King.
Are you ready?
He's all fired up now, King. Takeover.
Let's go.
WrestleMania 40 season is almost over. How are you guys feeling on WrestleMania 40 season? Are you underwhelmed? Are you excited for WrestleMania 40? I will be giving you guys my upfront, unfiltered opinions on WrestleMania 40 later on in the podcast. But you know we got to dive into the Vince McMahon. Just... this whole Vince McMahon saga has been insane. There will continue to be new developments, you know, as they keep coming out on the whole Vince McMahon saga. But before we get into that, I want to let you guys know to subscribe to my official YouTube channel, youtube.com/podcastjshow. Press that subscribe button. I will sincerely appreciate it. I jumble up all of my audio content on the Wrestling Takeover, and I distribute it to YouTube. So if you guys want to go subscribe to my YouTube channel, again, it's youtube.com/podcastjshow. I would really appreciate it. Also, leave me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you guys would like to. If you guys want to hear one of the best wrestling podcast in and around the internet wrestling community, IWC. If you guys want to hear a fan that's very passionate, very just upfront, blunt, honest, unfiltered with his values, perspectives, and opinions on all things WWE and AEW, this is the podcast for you right here, The Wrestling Takeover, the number one podcast when it comes to creativity. Most importantly, that's where I built my brand on. And if you guys want creativity, you guys want a fan that fantasy books and gives you guys ideas here and there, this podcast is definitely for you. So one more thing. If you guys can follow me on social media, Instagram at The Wrestling Takeover, on TikTok at The Wrestling Takeover, and on Twitter at The Wrestling Takeover. So if you guys can do a solid for me, I would really appreciate that. Let's get into the Vince McMahon stuff, because that is exactly what we really need to digest and talk about. You know, this whole Vince McMahon situation, man, it's really sad. It's just, I don't understand, you know, everything going on with this man and all of the news that is continuously to come out regarding this individual, Vince McMahon. He is out of WWE. He will never be involved in WWE, well, we presume, ever again. Never say never, but, you know, the owner of Endeavor, Ari Emanuel, and you know, some of the team from Endeavor flat out came out and said that Vince McMahon will never come back to the WWE. A few days later, I wanted to specifically wait to talk about this, unless there was more information that came out, but there wasn't really a lot of information that came out after this report from Front Office Sports. And the title reads the following: WWE President Nick Khan, COO Brad Bloom revealed as, quote, key figures and Vince McMahon's sex trafficking lawsuit. Pretty much what that means is they knew exactly what was going on and they didn't say shit about it. Take that as you will. You can come up with your own views and opinions. Leave them in the comments down below. Let's start a great conversation on this. Vince McMahon, sex trafficking, Nick Khan. How much did he really know? Did he know anything? This article is confirming that Nick Khan and CEO Brad Bloom knew a lot of things, but just never said anything. I want to make this point to you guys. I will be reading these documents. Now, if you don't want to hear me read any of these documents, that's understandable. That's fine. But I need to clarify and be direct and be very, I got to give you guys the bare bones of what everything that's going on with this whole Vince McMahon lawsuit, this whole Vince McMahon situation. I want to document everything because if I don't, I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice and I'm doing my audience a disservice for the people that are, you know, they want me to have them in the know of what's going on. They trust me to know everything, what's going on with the Vince McMahon situation. So if you guys, again, don't want to hear me talk about the Vince McMahon stuff, that's fine, but I'm going to be talking about it. I am going to be reading everything from this Front Office Sports. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. Again, the second half of the podcast will be dedicated to WrestleMania. But right now, we need to talk about this Vince McMahon situation. And every time that I finish a sentence, I will be giving you guys my opinions on it. Let's get into it. So the WWE president, Nick Khan, and COO, Brad Bloom, are the men identified as corporate officers, number one and number two, in a sex trafficking lawsuit filed in January in federal court in Connecticut against the company. Former chair Vince McMahon and former talent relations executive John Laurinaitis. The suit claims that Khan and Bloom, whose names have not previously been reported, were extraordinary to a scheme in which the plaintiff, a woman named Janelle Grant, was employed, quote, in a completely unidentified role, except for the understanding that she will remain a sexual slave to be used and trafficked by McMahon within the WWE, close quote. That's disgusting. I still can't believe that is actually what happened to her. It's very sad. And it really breaks my heart, man, because now we know, all right, let's not bullshit. Let's not sit up here and lie and fiddle around and be like, oh, we don't know. No, we know with these businesses, with these corporations, we know what they do. Come on. You know what I mean? We all know all these owners that own these multi-million, billion-dollar companies. They have fucking, either slave for women or sex trafficking, stuff with minors, all of that stuff, right? Especially the things that are going on with Pete Diddy right now is crazy. If you know, you know. Bill Cosby and all of these other people, man, that were ousted. This is what happens. It's disgusting. I'm not in agreement at all with it. It's fucking nasty. But this is the business. That's the business that they operate. If you want to get to the top, you got to do things here and there. It's very sad. So the suit claims that Khan and Bloom, whose names have not been reportedly, were instructed to scheme in which a plaintiff, again, I already read that. All right, so we're going to go to, unlike McMahon and Laurinaitis, the two are not personally accused of misconduct or violence. Rather, the suit claims that they and others faculty and covered up exploitation, in which that makes WWE liable under federal anti-trafficking law. In turn, like I said, they knew and they didn't say shit. Just because you didn't do anything, that does not mean you're a saint. This is not a good look for Nick Khan, who, honest to God, it was or is the greatest hire that Vince McMahon ever implemented. This man is having WWE make so much money financially with the Netflix deal. They're now sponsored by Prime Energy Drink with Logan Paul and KSI. They're making waves. These pay-per-views, these Premier Live events are in stadiums now. SummerSlam just announced that they will be going to Cleveland, Ohio, aka the Cleveland Browns football NFL stadium. That's fucking huge. That would not happen without the help of Nick Khan. So let's give him his flowers for that. But at the same time, motherfucker knew, and he didn't say nothing. Stephanie McMahon got ousted at one point. Y'all remember that? Where she knew everything with Ashley Massaro. She knew everything and didn't say nothing. Again, I want to point out Paul Levesque, Triple H, at the moment is not involved in this at all. Let's continue. Khan, a deal maker, again, he makes a lot of deals with WWE, and a former CAA exclusive who earned a reputation as one of the most powerful men in sports media through negotiating billion-dollar deals for clients like the SEC and WWE before joining later as president in 2020, is now the top man in control of the sparring empire it took McMahon to a lifetime build. He reports to TKO president Mark Shapiro and ultimately answers to legendary Hollywood power broker Ari Emanuel, who took over as chair of WWE's parent company, TKO, after McMahon resigned in January following the filming of The Suit. Quote, WWE takes Ms. Grant's allegations very seriously and has no tolerance for any physical abuse nor unwatched physical contact. A WWE spokesman said in a statement, neither Khan or Brad Bloom, prior to their lawsuit being filed in January 25th, 2024, were aware of any allegations by Ms. Grant that she was the victim of abuse or unwatched physical contact. So either you're fucking lying and you knew and you were shocked that this got out, or you genuinely didn't know. I don't know. You don't know as a fan. We all don't know. We weren't there. So we are just going off of what we're reading on the internet. That's pretty much it. All right. Again, if they knew and they just didn't say nothing, I'm sorry to say they got to go. If you knew and you did not say anything about it, you got to go. Ari Emanuel needs to pull that trigger. As much as Nick Khan has helped elevate the WWE to heights they've never seen before from a money standpoint, if you knew and you didn't say nothing, nah, bro, that's not what we finna do. You are not gonna, just because he didn't put his hands on her, that don't mean nothing. You're just as guilty as actually Vince McMahon putting her hands on that woman. This is gonna expose a lot of people in and around the IWC who are trying to be a defensive of Nick Khan, if this actually is true and they did know, but they just didn't say anything. That's not cool, man. That's not cool. I know you want to protect your job and all that other stuff, man. I understand that. But at the end of the day, you knew and you didn't say nothing. You just let it happen. Come on, man. Now Vince McMahon's ousting. Mr. McMahon is ousting everybody. You know what Vince McMahon's mindset is? Okay, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to call out you. That's what Vince McMahon is doing right now. I want people to understand that. Vince McMahon is never coming back. So in Vince McMahon's eyes, if I'm not coming back, you are not coming back either. Period. Take that as you will. So McMahon said the allegations in the lawsuit are baseless, quote unquote, and that he intends to vigorously defend himself. A lawyer for Laurinaitis has denied the allegations, but appeared to cooperate them by saying at the time, like, Grant has his client and, quote, a victim in this case, not a predator. The information about the identifications of the corporation officers a new lens through which to view Grant's suit. Most attention is focused on the allegations of extreme low sexual violence the suit makes against McMahon and his associates. It can, though, be read as of claims about how McMahon made the highest ranking executives in his company complicit in his conduct, aka protecting him. Or in this case, you want more money? You do as I say. Don't say nothing. Haven't said shit. Front Office Sports independently identified Khan and Bloom, as well as the two other anonymous corporate officers to whom the suit reverts by crossing checking the details of the suit against publicly available records like online resumes and corporate filings, as well as information provided by a source familiar within WWE. Corporate officers number one is set the suit, for example, to have maintained a fourth floor office at the company's office headquarters, which a person who worked there confirmed was true of Khan. Jesus Christ. These niggas are getting called out, man. Front Office Sports then asked Grant's lawyer, Annie Callis, whether his reporting was accurate. I can confirm that these names are correct. Jesus Christ. Hey, man, if you're Nick Khan, Stephanie McMahon, y'all motherfuckers better watch your back. I genuinely wonder if Bruce Pritchard, Kevin Dunn's gone, but Bruce Pritchard, Nick Khan, Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon, more Vince McMahon than anything, I wonder if any of these people are going to go to prison. Again, Stephanie, Nick Khan, they didn't physically do anything. They didn't physically do anything, but at the same time, they did do something because they didn't say shit. You see something like that and you're not going to say anything? You got me fucked up, bro. In any job, if I see something like that, listen, I might love my job so much, I got to say something. With my integrity and just me being a good person, seeing something like that being done to somebody, man, I can't help it. I would have to say something. Would you guys say something if you've seen something like that? Would you go out of your way and say something if you've seen Vince McMahon, you know, did what he was doing to Miss Grant? Would you have said something? Honestly, because I know I would. I'm not trying to play hero. I'm not trying to play any of that bullshit. The fact is this, you see something like that go down, that's fucking disgusting. You're walking through the turnstiles and you fucking see that and you're not going to say shit? That's insane to me how you see something like that and you don't say nothing. I don't know, man. That's just crazy to me. So the suit says that McMahon groomed Grant while was grieving the death of her parents and had her hired into a fake job with the company's legal department in May of 2019. So he just hired her just to hire her. She had no responsibility. He made up responsibilities as, you know, she was there. That's ridiculous, man. Subsequent to that, it says that she was subject to, quote, extreme cruelty and degradation. That's disgusting. So she was a sex slave for Vince McMahon. Go figure. Most of these billion-dollar people, they have slaves. They have these type of people in position like this. Insane, man. So, after that, McMahon degrading her during a group sex, and he and Laurinaitis raping her in the WWE offices, with the abuse only ending in 2022. This Nick of Vince is a crazy motherfucker. This left her, according to the suit, crippled both physically and mentally, including from, debilitation symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder and suicidal intention. Yeah, you would probably think the same thing and have that same mindset if you were in that position. Nobody should be going through something like that, man. That's crazy. You have a lot of bad people in this world, and Vince McMahon is a bad person. John Laurinaitis is a bad person. McMahon presented Bloom and Khan, quote, after his hiring in August of 2020 to Grant as his key fixers, according to the suit. The first time McMahon met her, it says, in March of 2019, he promised that Grant, who had minimal work history, that his office would reach out to a greeting meeting with Bloom, who was executive vice president in charge of operations at the time. A week later, the suit says she met with Bloom. He, quote, hardly asked any questions. And before long, she began to been hired into a $75,000 a year job in the legal department. In February of 2020, the suit says McMahon told Grant Bloom had warned him, quote, that there were a lot of rumors circulating about the relationship. Immediately after this, she was transferred to another department. Ooh, so word's getting out. We got to transfer to another department. So that department that was speculating doesn't know shit. They're hiding that. It's crazy, man. Years later, the suit says McMahon and Grant signed a non-disclosure agreement he negotiated on WWE's behalf without its knowledge, aka, I'm going to fuck you whenever I want. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to you. You can't do shit. You sign this fucking thing. Crazy. And he kept that away from WWE. Insane. WWE's behavior without its knowledge. He ended up paying only $1 million of an agreed upon $3 million. The two had a call, he claimed, would be the first conversation they would have ever had. Wow. So he barely talked to this hoe. He barely talked to her, bro. Barely talked to her. All he wanted just was to, you know what? You feel me? Come on, man. That's crazy. So the second of those people was Khan. According to the suit, in March of 2021, Grant was told Vince McMahon and Khan have responded to her introducing herself into a corner by telling her he knew exactly what she was. Later that day, the suit says McMahon told her that he had a meeting with Khan and Bloom and informed him of the nature of their relationship. Okay, so he admitted it. He admitted it to them. Excuse me, hold on. So he told Bloom and Khan what was going on. And that's why they didn't say nothing. So there you go. So he held a meeting with Khan and Bloom and informed them of the nature of their relationship. McMahon told her, the suit says, that the two men had voiced concerns to him and acquired rather Grant could be trusted. So they thought Ms. Grant was going to go out and start snitching on them. A WWE spokesman denies this conversation ever happened. So this is all about he says, she said. Who said what? Who didn't say what? Who's going to be quiet? Who's going to speak up? This never happened. Oh, no, this happened. We don't know. Again, we're only going off based on what we're seeing and what we're reading on the internet. McMahon, the suit says, Grant told that the two, quote, expressed concern, but were ultimately supportive. Of course you were supportive because it's Vince McMahon and he's paying your fucking checks. The next day, the suit says, Bloom told her that she was being transferred to the talent relations department. Oh, God. Where she would report to John Laurinaitis, with whom McMahon had months before pressured her into a group sex at McMahon's condo. Yeah, don't go to John Laurinaitis, man. That nigga is crazy. That nigga is crazy, bro. Talking about nobody would have sex with you. Talking about AJ Lee and Becky Lynch and shit. Like, what the fuck? Kevin Dunn saying that to Becky. I believe John Laurinaitis said that to AJ Lee. Listen, AJ Lee and Becky are attractive women. You're tripping. Insane. So John Laurinaitis, and then he disrespected his fucking wife, man, because she was having cancer, and John Laurinaitis was being a dirty dog, bro, cheating on her while she was in, you know, she was having cancer and stuff. Like, you gotta be an evil motherfucker, man. You gotta be an evil mother. You know what, to be doing that type of crap, bro. That's crazy to me how you can do that and be like, yep, I still love you. It's crazy. So she was going forward. The suit says expressed to sexually suffice Laurinaitis at his hotel and in his office. Jeez. The suit alleges that her sexual explanation continued for another year. Oh my God. It says that during the negotiations over the NDA, Grant included Klon and Bloom in a list of people who Rhodes should be addressed in an agreement due to their, quote, knowledge of the relationship. So they fucking knew and didn't say nothing. Pretty much Grant is saying, well, they knew. They knew, so they should be in trouble as well. It's crazy, man. So the suit does not explicitly make any claims about rather Klon, Bloom, or the other two corporate officers knew any alleged acts of sexual violence or cruel and discriminative treatment. The person identified in the suits of a corporate number three is, according to SBR, that Grant lawyer confirmed McMahon's daughter, longtime WWE executive Stephanie McMahon. She mentioned she is mentioned once in an amendment context. And this is where people were talking about Stephanie McMahon. I know this is long, guys. Again, I need to read this stuff. So, 3 months after the NDA between McMahon and Grant was signed in 2022, Stephanie McMahon, then WWE's chief brand officer, announced that she was taking a leave of absence from the company. A month later, the Wall Street Journal reported a proposal by the board of directors and payments made by Vince McMahon involving NDAs with several former female employees and performers. Stephanie McMahon seen the shit. She seen the writing on the wall and she was like, yeah, I'm out this bitch. I know what's coming out and I don't want nothing to do with this. So I'm out of here. Come to find out, yeah, Stephanie McMahon, you were going to get your bell tolled. Yeah. You were going to get what's coming to you. Sadly. It's crazy. So after she left, all right, after a month later, after she left, hold on, guys, let's see. I got sidetracked for a second. Hold on. Okay. All right, here we go. I'm sorry about that. The Wall Street Journal reported on a prop by the WWE Board of Directors into payments made by Vince McMahon involving NDAs with several former employees, woo-woo-woo. After his subjective resignation as CEO and chair of board, she became interim CEO and chair in early 2023. Her father seized control of the board of ahead of WWE's eventual merger with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Under the auspices of Ari Emanuel's endeavor, she resigned days later because she knew what was going on. Stephanie McMahon did not respond to questions sent via overnight letter to a postal box. She is set to control, and through a direct message to social media accounts she controls, WWE declined to provide content information from the lawyer or representative through which front office sports could reach her. The person identified as corporate officer number four, according to which Grant's lawyer confirmed, is Brian Nurtz, formerly general counsel of head of WWE's legal department. Oh, so George, Mr. Legal Department over there. Interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if none of these, I wouldn't be surprised, man, if Ari Emanuel gets rid of all these people, bruh. So, I'm going to finish here. I don't want to, there's just, actually, you know what? No. We're almost done. I'm sorry. I'll read this one. We're almost done. So the suit describes the work environmental in the legal department as discretionary to a point where Grant was ultimately expressing panic attacks in the office. What the fuck? She was never on board. Of course she wasn't on board. She didn't want to do none of this shit. But she didn't have a lot of money. She had to support her family, so she had to do what she had to do. If anybody is okay with this, you're the fucking problem. I want to make that known right now. This is disgusting. It says, or giving any clear responsibilities, and Nurse was, quote, warm with other colleagues, but cold with others. So she was cool with some, cold with others. Before becoming openly hostile behavior, his staff noticed. Discussed with Grant. See, they all seen it and didn't say nothing about it. How the fuck can you do that? How can you do that and see everything going on and can't say shit because you were straight pussy? You a pussy, you a bitch, and you don't want your fucking job to be gone, so you ain't gonna say shit. Man, fuck that, bro. Fuck that, bro. I'm going to work for WWE. WWE's my dream job. Yeah, WWE's my dream job too. But come on, bro. You can't be doing this, bro, and not say nothing. That's not cool, man. That's not cool. So these people knew, but they didn't want to say nothing because they knew they were going to get fired. Also, their checks were very nice, so they didn't want to lose that. I mean, that's understandable, bro, but I don't know, man. It's crazy. So, behavior his staff noticed, discussed with Grant. In some case, implemented nurse said that would even stop and change directions if he saw her in a hallway. Jesus Christ, man. And he told her, or he told at least one other executive that he knew or subjected the relationship between Grant and McMahon was sexual. Of course it was. Again, these people knew and they didn't want to say nothing. In February 2020, Grant was transferred to another division. In November 2020, Nurse was, the suit says, terminated or asked to resign, making him one of a number of employees who claim were, quote, forced to resign or let go if they knew of McMahon's explosive and failed to assist, aka failed to say anything and tell on him. You didn't want to tell? You're fired. Not long afterwards, the suit says Grant was transferred back to the legal department before ultimately being transferred back to Lord Hynes' talent relations department before her presence in the legal department was, McMahon told her, making it difficult to hire a new top lawyer. Oh, you're the best one. We need you. You are number one. Get out of here, man. I know I wasted 30 plus minutes talking about that, but I needed to do that. This is my show. I can do what I want, man. But I wanted to give you guys my opinions on that. But I'm about to go get some water right now. I will be back. But when I get back, we're going to be talking about WrestleMania. I might piss people off with my opinions, but it's just my opinions. It's how I feel. But I'll be back. And we're going to talk about WrestleMania in the second half of the podcast. All right, you guys, WrestleMania 40, let's get down to it, man. My views and opinions on it, it's underwhelming. WrestleMania 40, right now, from what I'm seeing, is, it's underwhelming, man. It's not hitting, in my personal opinion. You guys might think differently, and that's fine. But The Rock, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, it's taking majority of the chunk of the build for WrestleMania. Which is fine. I'm not talking about those matches. The tag team match and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. I'm not going to talk about those. But the other matches, we got to talk about them, man. We got to talk about them because they're kind of seeing a dip in quality, in my opinion, in fan investment. Sami Zayn and Gunther. This one. Woo! viewer discretion is advised. I am an honest podcaster, giving you guys my honest opinions about what I see on WWE TV. I watched Monday Night Raw last night. I watched a great scramble gauntlet match, whatever you want to call it, and the winner challenged Gunther at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. I love Chad Gable. I want to point that out right now. I love Chad Gable. But y'all got to cut the shit out. Y'all got to stop. I see cats in the IWC. Oh, add Chad Gable. Nigga, no. Fuck is you talking about? No. Y'all got to stop that. Get that out your head right now. Stop campaigning for that to happen. If it was going to happen, Chad Gable would have won the match. But here's my problem with that. WWE, Triple H, listen, bro. Love you, man. Papa H. I love you, man. I would love to write for you one day. Listen, bro. You played the fans, and you played Chad Gable. I know you talked to Chad Gable, and you were like, yo, listen, you're going to get your time. You played that man. You played that man the past couple months. He lost to Gunther. Double count out, DQ, whatever. But he ultimately did lose, so he lost. But you keep playing with him and playing with him. We might get a Chad Gable here. You might get it. You might get the match. You might get it. And you're just playing with the story. Now you want to do it as we get close to WrestleMania? I ain't feeling that. I'm not in agreement with that. You stopped the whole story with Chad Gable, and then when WrestleMania gets closer, now you want to add Chad Gable to it. That's my only problem with this situation. But y'all motherfuckers got to stop with the Chad Gable, add Chad Gable, triple threat, man, fuck that. No, Chad Gable will get his time. You have to be patient. We are living, this is the God's honest truth. We are living in the Triple H era where we as an audience, we have to be patient, but at the same time, Triple H, you need to give us answers. If we're going to be patient with you, and if we're going to wait with you, because we will wait with you, we love you, but if we're going to wait with you, you need to give us answers and subliminal answers. And you know, instead of us going out there and answering the questions ourselves, we're not writing. We're not over there. We're not over there. You are. You're in charge. You're the king. You have the crown on. You can't leave your audiences in the dark like that, where months go by and we're thinking, where's Chad Gable at? Where's Chad Gable? Is he going to get an opportunity of WrestleMania? And then all of a sudden, WrestleMania draws near. Now you want to present Chad Gable. Come on, man. You were pausing on that shit for months. Now you want to bring it up. Now I ain't fucking with that. Not vibing with that. So that's my only problem. Other than that, y'all got to stop the bullshit. Sami Zayn and Gunther are going to tear it up at WrestleMania. Y'all don't understand. Sami Zayn has a story too, but here's the problem. The story with Chad Gable is what fans want to see more. Let's just keep it real, okay? The Chad Gable story is what fans really want to see. Not saying they don't want to see Sami Zayn, but they would rather see the Chad Gable thing first and have that be played out. Do I think WWE made a bad call? So I've been seeing in and around the IWC. Man, I don't give a fuck. Listen, this is the truth. I don't give a fuck what decision they do. They were going to make a bad one regardless. If Chad Gable won, great. There will be Sami Zayn fans who feel Sami Zayn got screwed when he main evented. And this is what I want people that are Chad Gable fans. Y'all got to understand this. And I'm going to be the one to tell y'all because I keep it real, bro. I keep it 100. And if you don't like it, go watch someone else. Go listen to somebody else. This is the fact of the situation. So please hear me out. This is the facts. So fact is this. Sami Zayn's a bigger name than Chad Gable. God's honest truth. Number two, Sami Zayn main evented last year's WrestleMania night one. Chad Gable didn't. So why are you going to leave someone that main evented night one of WrestleMania off the card this year? That don't make no sense to me. That's facts. Number three, they want to go with Sami Zayn because they're more familiar with a Sami Zayn. That's facts. Tell me when I'm telling lies. Please, let me know in the comments if I'm lying. But I'm not lying. I'm not lying. I don't pull shit out of my ass. What do I always say, guys? Ladies and gentlemen, what do I always say? Tell me when I'm telling lies, and I say what I say, and I mean what I say. Period. I love Chad Gable. Chad Gable, and I've been seeing this a lot within the community, always most underutilized. Man, he's not underutilized. He's underappreciated. He's underappreciated. That's what Chad Gable is. He's underappreciated. He's undervalued. He's not underutilized. Come on, man. Use some better vocabulary. But listen, we're getting Sami Zayn and Gunther. Y'all got to deal with it. Cut the shit with the adding Chad Gable stuff. Please stop. Y'all doing that with Liv Morgan. This is why the wrestling community sometimes, I love you guys, but and y'all get on my nerves, bro. Y'all get on my nerves, bro. I know you're a fan of Chad Gable. So am I. But you're not going to mess up a match that WWE wants to do with Sami Zayn and Gunther. Well, we got to add Chad Gable now because the fans want it. Man, fuck that. Stick to the plan. Stick to the game plan. You wanted Sami in there. If you wanted Chad Gable would have won on Monday Night Raw. But he didn't. Bayley and Io Sky. This will be pretty short. And then I'll end it with Becky and Rhea. Because we don't know, in regards to the Undisputed Tag Team titles, we don't really know what's going on there, who the other teams are going to be. But Bayley and Io Sky and Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. I'll start with Bayley and Io. It's hot cold, bruh. It's hot cold. Where did this feud go? This feud was great. This feud was exciting. I haven't lost total interest in the match, but I've lost a few of it. And I love Io Sky, man. She's my girl. That's my champion right there. How people say Cody Rhodes is the uncrowned champion. That's their uncrowned champ. Yo, Io's my champion. And I feel like Io's getting a bad rap because people are calling her out and saying she ain't doing shit. But the reality of the situation is she's not doing nothing. She's doing nothing. She's just there. She's just there as the champion holding a prop title. The feud's not dead, but it ain't as hot as it was before. You should have went crazy after that turn from Damage Control to Bayley when Bayley turned babyface. You should have went ham on that, but you didn't. Bayley cut a good backstage promo. I like that. The sit-down interview, I love that. You got a couple more weeks, so you can get the juices flowing again, but you got to hurry up, bro. You got to hurry up, bro. I feel the same way with Rhea Ripley and Becky. What is up with these Rhea Ripley matches, bro? You did it with Charlotte Flair, and it was dull as fuck. The story was dull as hell, but the match was a fucking banger. And I'm talking WrestleMania 36, the pandemic one. That match was fucking incredible. But the feud was dog shit. WrestleMania 39, one of my favorite women's matches of all time in WWE. That match was a certified hit. But the story was dog shit. If you enjoyed it, that's great. But the feud, to me, not interesting. We got the same thing with Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, who's going to debut tomorrow. You feel me? I can't wait. I will be doing an audio reaction to my girl coming out tomorrow night. So stay tuned for that. I will be doing a reaction to Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné debut tomorrow on AEW Dynamite. Live at the TD Garden, you feel me? Now listen. Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, they had one of the best women's matches of all time in WWE history at WrestleMania 39, but their feud was fucking hot boo-boo ass. Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, my girl, feuding with my other girl, Bianca B. Their match at WrestleMania 37, one of the greatest of all time. But their fucking feud, trash. Come on, bro. What are we doing? Even Becky Lynch and again, my girl Bianca Belair, my girl Becky, had a fucking banger. One of the best women's matches of all time at WrestleMania 38. But their feud was fucking dog shit. What are we doing? What are we doing with the women's stories? What are we doing, bro? You got two. You put two great women's, competitors together, and you're like, yeah, we're going to get a banger match, whatever. The story makes it, who cares? We're going to get a banger match. People are going to be talking about the match, not the story. Man, fuck that, bro. We got to get invested in the story as well because we know with our eyes, we see it. Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley are going to give us a fucking classic women's match at WrestleMania 40. We know that. But where's the story? Becky Lynch doesn't get the mommy hype. Is that what it is? Is that the story? She doesn't get the mommy hype. She thinks herself is being underappreciated. So she's going to let people know why Becky calls herself Big Time Bex and the man. I mean, okay, but I need a little bit more than that. And Rhea Ripley, what's mommy going to do? Just establish why she's the fucking best in the world. She's going to establish herself why she is the next big thing in women's wrestling, in WWE. And again, I hope Rhea Ripley retains at WrestleMania 40. That is just my opinion. But those are just overall my thoughts on WrestleMania, some of the big time matches, Roman Reigns and Rock versus Seth Rollins and Cody. I mean, come on, man. There's been story with that. There's been story with Cody Rhodes and Roman. There's been story with Seth Rollins and Drew. That's why I wasn't even tackling it, because there's story with those matches, and I'm emotionally invested in those stories. But the other ones, I mean, come on, bro. I know Gunther and Sami Zayn just started, so we'll see with that. But the two women's matches, man, the stories of one of them had potential, and it just kind of twinkled down a little bit. The other one, I just wasn't feeling it from the get-go. Undisputed Tag Team title match, ladder match, Judgment Day. We don't know who they're going to face, but I don't even know if we're going to get a story with that. But we'll see what happens. But I do feel and sense the community. If there's one word to describe WrestleMania 40 right now, it's underwhelming. And WrestleMania 40 ain't hitting as I thought it would be in terms of story. We know the matches are going to be bangers, but the stories outside of Roman Reigns, if your name is not Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Rock, Gunther and Sammy, I don't know, man. So we'll see what happens, but let me know in the comments of all of the conversations that I had for today's show. I wanted to get something up for you guys today. And tomorrow, again, stay tuned, stay tapped, because I will be doing an audio reaction to Mercedes Moné's official debut, and I will be giving you guys my opinions on the women's division, where I see it going, how Mercedes Moné is going to be booked in AEW. Stay tuned for that tomorrow night right here on The Wrestling Takeover. I appreciate y'all tapping into me. This is Jordan Turner, and I'll see you guys tomorrow for Mercedes Moné in the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. AEW. Yup. Yeah.